broadcasting live from the Gwinnett Studio of Business Radio X, located inside Office Suites Plus at Satellite Place in Duluth. It's time for Gwinnett Business Radio. Gwinnett Business Radio spotlights and highlights companies that do business in Gwinnett County and the people who lead them.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to Gwinnett Business Radio. I'm your host, Mike Salmon, alongside my co-host, Stephen Julian. Hello there, Stephen.
Morning, Mike. How you doing?
Good, good. Did you have a good weekend? I spent the weekend in the cold in Cumming, Georgia. My son played in a baseball tournament, 30 degrees, freezing my fanny off all weekend.
I heard about that. My youngest son had his game canceled due to it being too cold. It was supposed to be at 6:30 p.m., and they called it before that. And my friends from Montana, where I used to live, had a lot of fun saying, oh, yeah, canceled because of the cold. What was it, 50 degrees? So it was 36.
So the league directors with your team were smart, and
yes,
us, no. We played through snow flurries.
Well, my son is – my youngest is seven, so it would not have been fun.
All right, Stephen, we got three great guests in the studio today. Joining us is David Lawler. He's with the law offices of David M. Lawler. Also, Stacy Gross from Favorite Place Travel, and Paul, pronounce your last names.
It's pronounced Fire Eisen. Fire Eisen.
Fire Eisen. I should have asked him the question before we went on the air. That might have been smart. So Paul F. will be joining us from Southern Home Inspections Plus. We'll start with David Lawler, a friend of the show. David's been on before. And David, we're going to talk a little bit more about business law today with your permission, if that's okay.
You have my permission.
Right.
Absolutely.
Now, obviously, you do lots of different laws, but as far as business law, what's the single most important thing that a business owner can do to protect his or her assets?
Well, the single most important thing that a business owner could and should do is make sure that they are not operating as a sole practitioner. A sole practitioner is the guy that just puts a shingle out, he puts a sign on his car, you know, Joe Smith doing Smith's landscaping, a lawn service. And he doesn't have any kind of limited liability protection. That means that any suit, any debt, any judgment, any financial obligation of the business is also automatically that person's financial obligation. So somebody sues the business, gets a $100,000 judgment against that landscaping company or whatever, then that guy's personal assets are on the line, and that doesn't make his wife very happy.
So there's a chance he could lose a home, lose a car, whatever.
Absolutely.
So what do they need to do then?
They need to call David Lawler. What they need to do is, of course, get some kind of business entity, and there are many to choose from, that offer what's called limited liability protection. The most common that everybody knows about is, of course, a corporation. A corporation is owned by shareholders, and those shareholders own a little tiny piece of the company. And when the company is out there doing business, of course, you know, one of the risks of doing business is that you're going to get sued. And, you know, that's just one of the risks in today's overly litigious society. And yes, I do blame lawyers for that. Those owners, those shareholders, they do not have personal liability for the business obligations unless there's some kind of extraordinary event that can pierce that veil of corporate protection. You know, say if Bill Gates were out there actually stabbing people with a Microsoft pen, then, yeah, that kind of intentional, willful wrongdoing can be used to circumvent the protection that the corporation has. But the idea of a corporation is that it provides an umbrella, a shield, a protective layer for the business owners so that if, let's go back to the landscaping company, Joe Smith is out there, he's got an S-Corp or an LLC or some limited liability entity, you know, say one of his guys runs over somebody's foot with a lawnmower, and they get a judgment against the landscaping company for that accident, Joe still gets to keep his house, and that makes wife very happy. I mean, worst case scenario, he may have to shut down the business and start again, but hey, Ulysses S. Grant had six businesses, became one of the most successful military people in the world and president of the United States. So, you know,
There you go.
We know how to start again as Americans. We know how to relaunch ourselves in business.
We're talking with David Lawler with the law offices of David M. Lawler. Is there a lot of paperwork involved? Is it expensive to get, say, an LLC?
I am so glad you ask. It is staggeringly inexpensive to use my office to do that. For an LLC, which is my favorite type of business entity for a small mom-and-pop, one- or two-owner kind of company, you're talking $400, and 100 of that goes to the state as a filing fee. $300 for me for the hour and a half it takes to get it done. It involves about a 15-minute phone call from the customer's point of view, about 2 weeks waiting for the state to say, okay, it's approved, and you are up and running.
David, for the business owner who says, man, $400 sounds good, but I saw it online for $99.99. People who want to do it themselves, what do you say?
If they saw it online for $99.99, they missed the fine print that says plus filing fees and plus additional time if you actually want to speak to a human and all of this. You know, you can go out and do this yourself, but there's requirements of the law, particularly here in Georgia, regarding what an LLC has to have on their books and on their records to make sure that that limited liability protection is still intact, that if you don't follow those rules, if you don't have your back file together, they can pierce that veil of protection. And I know what those things are. And that website's not going to tell you. Or they're going to upcharge you for all those additional steps.
And don't the websites normally say, get everything done on here and then go have it reviewed by an attorney?
Usually so, yes. Yeah.
You mentioned the LLC, and there's yes. different types of corporations as well. Mm-hmm. Can a business change from one corporation type to another?
Absolutely. And I tell people that all the time when they're doing an LLC and they're thinking, well, you know, maybe my exit strategy is to get a lot of investors and, you know, sell the company or whatever. And the thing is, it's very easy to do. It requires a simple filing with the Secretary of State. Again, and whenever you're waiting on the Secretary of State, no disrespect to our government, don't investigate me. It does take a couple of weeks to get something processed. And right now, the Secretary of State is doing I got to tell you, they're in the midst of relocating their corporation's division from Atlanta down to Macon, and they're totally revamping their site. And they're going through a lot of changes. And despite that, they are still getting things done. It's a little slower than usual, but they're doing a really good job.
David, I know you also work on estate plans. Explain what an estate plan is and why it's important.
Sure. Well, an estate plan is basically planning for the one event we're all going to face, and that's death. You know, it cracks me up when people say, hey, I want to get a will in case mama dies. I'm like, do you know something I don't? You know, the good book says that only two people didn't die, and even Jesus didn't get out of it. All right? So it's planning for the inevitable. What's so funny?
Nothing. I'm not
right.
laughing at
no,
all.
No, okay. So
I thought about that. Just sure. in case mama
just
dies.
In case mama dies. Yeah. Mama gonna die, all right? It's just a matter of when and whether you do it or somebody else beats you to it. So what do you do? An estate plan is basically having your ducks in a row so that your stuff gets distributed the way you want it to. That's the simplest way there is to explain it. And one of the most common vehicles for doing that is, of course, a will. And everybody says, oh, I got to have a will. Do you know how many people have wills? Probably less than 10%. Well, you know that. You do financial planning. And I'm sure part of your interview is, and do you have a will? And they're like, well, I've been meaning to do that.
Let the record show that David's looking at Stephen Julian, by the way, because I'm not the financial planner here on the show.
Right. I'm sorry. Stephen Julian, when you are discussing. Yes. Right. So, you know, the will basically sets forth, I want this person to handle my estate when I die. If they can't do it, I've got a backup. I want this person to take care of and raise my kids. And if they can't do it, here's a backup. And it sets out who you want to take care of the stuff. It sets out the stuff and how you want it handled. It also, you can say, and I don't want my cousin Billy Bob to get anything. Now, you can do specific exclusions in a will, and I tell you, part of my standard questionnaire is, and who do you want to make sure gets nothing? Because almost every family's got that black sheep. And it's got, you know, you can get it where it's pretty simple. You know, I want everything to go to my wife, and if that doesn't work, I want everything to go to my kids. Or you can get as complex as you want, where you can say, and I want $2 to go to this Philippine charity, and that sort of thing. And you're really only limited by your own creativity.
And let me ask you a follow-up question. Have you had some wills that you've worked on for some clients where it was like kind of wacky and crazy?
Oh, absolutely. One of my favorite provisions I ever saw in a will was with the disposition of their ashes. They wanted to be cremated, and they wanted the ashes spread at sea, which is very, very common. However, what was uncommon is they said they wanted the estate to pay for a cruise for the immediate family members and their family members. So, like, my brothers, my sisters, anybody, they all get to go on the cruise, paid for the estates, you know, 7 to 10 days, Caribbean. It didn't specify the cruise line, and they wanted the ashes spread by everybody at the on the boat while the boat was moving. Now, when I tell that story, silence is what I get. You ever seen ashes on a moving boat at 24 knots?
Better be on the back end.
Exactly. The joke is they're going to get soaked. They're going to get covered with the ashes. Okay, and that's kind of like the last laugh this particular couple wanted to have, is that their ashes will be covering their relatives on that.
That was really the plan of the deceased.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
Okay. So I guess with the wills, you really can get the last word.
Nice. Or laugh.
But don't bum.
Ching. Very good.
I'm never as funny as David when David's on the show.
Right.
No. So David's not coming on the show anymore.
I was going to make some joke about they burned their, you know, they burned them one last time. But that
No.
Okay, so here's
I'll leave the humor to you guys.
No, but that wasn't humor. Okay, David, here's my question. So you've covered estate plans a little bit. We've covered the number one thing that a business owner can do in an LLC. And that is, you're absolutely correct on those. And I think a lot of business owners go, yeah, I got to do that. And they always hear that stuff. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the other things? It doesn't have to be number two, but somewhere else down the list that business owners need to be careful of and need to have a reason to have a good attorney that they can talk to, like David Lawler from David Lawler and Associates. So.
Well, one of the reasons to have an attorney is just so that every couple of years you can go over the global picture and check for things like, you know, are they in compliance with their filings with the Secretary of State? You know, getting with their accountant or their insurance people to make sure that they've got the right kind of coverages and in ample amounts, so that if the unplanned happens, that they've got their ducks in a row.
So almost an ounce of prevention worth a pound of cure.
Absolutely.
And you would say, so is it every year? Is it every 2 years? Is it different for different businesses?
Well, that's a great question. I would say it'd probably be different for different businesses. There are certain businesses that the laws change constantly on, and there are certain things that they don't. For example, a cemetery owner would not have to check every year, okay? But somebody that does financial planning, I mean, your regulations are always in a state of flux that you've got to constantly be educating yourself. My prior example with the cemetery doesn't change much.
Yeah. So here's my hard-hitting follow-up question to that. David's ready. He's poised and ready to go. So I think sometimes business owners probably have in the back of their mind, I'd like to call. I've got an attorney, but I don't want to have to get charged every single time I call. So is that something you lay out at the beginning of the relationship? Look, here's what you need to expect from me. Here's how you – I mean, is that an honest question? Is that an honest conversation that every business owner should expect to have with their good attorney?
Absolutely. Well, attorneys all have different personalities, different styles, and that style also goes to their billing. There are some attorneys that bill for every single phone call, every single email, and they're – that's legitimate. If you are utilizing that attorney's time, that attorney has two things to sell: time and expertise. That's it. That's all we got. And, you know, there are retainer packages where you could have someone where you pay them a flat fee each month, and then, you know, you can call and utilize up to a certain amount of time. And that's kind of what I do. I've got a couple businesses that pay me a little bit each month, and they can call and say, Dave, I got this going on. What do you think I should do? And, I kind of keep track of that time, and if they exceed it, then we go into an hourly rate billing situation. But for the most part, you know, if your attorney's billing you for a 2-minute phone call, talk to some other attorneys. Really, 2 minutes? Now, if it's 2 minutes every single day, that's an hour at the end of the month. That's into the hundreds of dollars, of course.
Got a couple of questions here, and I know you want me to ask you these questions, so I hope you're not setting me up for something really bad.
I am totally setting you up for everything.
That's what I'm thinking. One of the questions is, what do you do when a client of yours won't take your advice? You know this is the thing they need to do, and they just will not listen to you.
Well, as an attorney, we have a couple of options. One is withdraw from the case. And I had somebody that did this recently in a divorce case. I was telling him, look, your wife, I know you want this to be wrapped up, but they're not moving very quickly on their settlement, okay? And if you settle for what she's asking for, it will cost you $150,000 more than we can settle for if you're just a little patient. And I told him this several times. And he's like, nope, no, I want to settle for that. I said, I'm telling you, do not. My legal advice, don't sign that. He's like, I'm signing it. I said, well, before you do that, you sign this that says, I've told you not to sign it. Okay? And I file that with the court.
Seriously, or are you joking? Seriously?
No, I'm not joking.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. My lawyer told me not to sign this, and I'm signing it anyway.
Because that could come back to haunt you. Someone says, well, look, you didn't represent this guy very well, so you were kind of protecting your own fanny, I guess.
Absolutely. Well, you know, the thing is, a client, it cannot waive the right to sue their attorney for doing a bad job, okay? There's all kinds of areas out there where you can waive the right to sue somebody, but you can never waive a legal malpractice. God, I hope he's not listening. But you can never waive a legal malpractice claim against your attorney. The best you can do is cover your assets. And I was asset covering on that one because it's spelled out. I know this is a bad idea and I'm doing it anyway because I just want it wrapped up.
And the name of the client is?
John
Stephen
Doe.
Julian.
Mike wait, Salmon.
Follow-up question here. As an attorney, what is the dumbest thing anyone has ever asked you?
I actually have a list. Now, my favorite dumb question is, do you take cash? But yeah, of course. I had a couple of really good ones recently. A guy called and said, look, I just found out I had a warrant for my arrest, and I want to flee the state. Should I? No. Another good one recently was this guy says, I'm having a big, fat fight divorce with my wife. It's really contested, but we both like you and want to use you. Will you represent both of us? No can do. But my favorite one, it was a pending divorce. And one of the things is, when you're getting a divorce, one of the things you are not supposed to do is have any kind of marital relations with your spouse, because you have to be living in a state of separation. And under the law, that means no marital relations. I don't know how far I can describe that on internet radio.
Pretty much say anything you want, but we know where you're going.
Okay. So this young woman has a consultation in my office. She hires me, and I standard advice, you know, don't hook up with your husband anymore. After the divorce, if you want to, go for it. But, you know, while the divorce is pending, don't, because people can actually use that to get that case dismissed. She calls me the next day and says, listen, how far can I go with this? Can I do, like, this express act?
Basically asking you, can I go to second base or third base?
Third and a half. You know that spot where they're throwing the ball back and forth, you know, between third and home? She's asking that. And I said, look, if there's anything you don't want your 13-year-old daughter doing with a boy, don't do that.
Good answer.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. And so she was very disappointed. I would just say that she probably had an increased hormonal level, you know, because she was really adamant that she wanted to engage in certain
right
stuff.
We got you.
Yeah. All right. That may be the dumbest question.
David Lawler with the law offices of David M. Lawler. When he's not practicing law, he's appearing weekly at the Punchline. I'll tell you what, we've spoken almost 20 minutes. We could do entire shows with just David. Right. So that's why we have only three guests today and not four. You're wondering why we had an open seat earlier. David, for those that want to reach out to you, find out, you know, hear more jokes, find out more about your services, what should they do?
Well, lots of ways to get in touch with me. The telephone number of the office is 770-904-5115. And you can find me on the web at dlawler.com. There are no Y's in that. It is dlawler.com, dlawler.com. And remember, if you're being sued, don't know what to do, don't fuss, scream, or holler.
Call David Lawler.
By the way, David is very popular in the Gwinnett business community, if you haven't already figured that out. David, thank you so much. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for having me back.
Yes. He's as shocked as anybody that I brought him back after the first time. Joining us now on Gwinnett Business Radio is Stacy Gross. Stacy is the owner and travel planner with Favorite Place Travel. So tell us all about your company, Stacy.
Hi there. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. I am the owner and maker of dreams for Favorite Place Travel. And we just I have a branch in Chicago that focuses on European travel, and I've got some agents all over the Atlanta area, and we help leisure travel. We can be a corporate travel department for your small and medium business, and I also help sports teams, travel ball teams, baseball, softball, lacrosse, basketball, any team that travels, you know, the team manager doesn't always want to book all those rooms and take care of all those logistics, but I can take care of that.
Mike, your son's travel ball team could have used that this weekend, playing at a warmer climate.
Yeah. Send us somewhere south.
I can help you.
To use a question that I think that Stephen used for David earlier, why should someone use a travel agent when they can probably do a lot of this themselves online?
Well, much like David said, with the legal advice, it's a very similar situation. Sure, you can go online. Travel has become a very much a do-it-yourself business, but I'm bringing customer service back to the industry. People like to talk to people. People like to get reaction and get someone responsible for their trip, someone they can bounce ideas off of, someone with expertise. It's overwhelming to go onto a travel website and pick your next amazing vacation and be like, oh, is this the right location? Is this a good hotel? I don't know. But they can talk to a person who they can hold responsible, who cares about their trip, and who is have the expertise to help them.
Let me ask a follow-up question to that, because I think our society has gone so far into looking online and how many sites and how many and it's all about the quote.
Right.
Educate me a little bit again on customer service in the travel industry. What should I be looking for? What are some things that I should expect if I work with Favorite Place Travel to help me plan my trip?
Well, you know what? Time is money, and I save you time. So I can answer your questions. You can call me. You can email me. You can text me. I will answer you within a matter of minutes most times, or certainly no more than 24 hours. That would be a maximum. But I can answer any of those questions. I just got a question of how come I looked on my reservation and this wasn't listed. Well, you don't have to. Don't make that call. I'll make that call for you. I'll get back to you very soon and let you know. Or what, you know, this question, does this hotel have a pool or have a slide at the pool? Well, you know what? I'll find out. You don't need to research all that. And I save you time a lot. And that is what I love to do. My passion is sending families on vacation. I think it's important for families to take the time out to make those memories.
Yeah, I've got a client who's looking to leave the state.
Next flight out.
Does the hotel have no windows in the room? Because I might be interested in that one.
I need a hotel with bulletproof windows. Can you help me?
Oh, okay. Man.
We are talking.
Yeah, let's reel it back in.
We're talking with Stacy Gross with Favorite Place Travel. And, you know, you don't sell travel. I mean, you sell peace of mind, really, is what you do. Right. Do you have an area of expertise?
Well, like I said, I love family vacations. I am passionate about Disney World. That's pretty deep, I know. But I do love sending people to Disney World. I spent my life going to Disney with my family and have some really great memories there. And I think that helps. I love families going on vacation to Disney World because it causes the adult to get on a kid level. So you're not pushing a kid once again into an adult environment where they need to flow into the adult schedule and this and that. But if the adults will lower themselves, if you will, to the age of an 8-year-old or a 4-year-old and just go have fun and put those ears on and just look goofy for the next couple of days, then you're going to make priceless memories.
I got a question about that. What do you think about the Disney-provided guided tours?
Oh, the Adventures by Disney, yeah. All over the world?
No. The ones where you can have your own guide take you through the Magic Kingdom or through Hollywood Studios.
Oh, I think that those are fabulous. If you want to, you can hire a person to do that and take you through and get a VIP tour of the parks. Those are a fabulous way to see Disney World. Now, there are other ways and other options of seeing the parks and avoiding the crowds, that type of thing, and I can help with that expertise as well. But, you know, in addition to Disney, I love sending people on cruises. That's a really fun way to go out and
I'd love for you to send me on a cruise.
Okay, well, go on.
Apparently, Carnival's having some discounts.
Well, exactly, exactly. Carnival is a fabulous company. They had a bad experience, but, you know, every company does.
So speak a little bit more about some of the other things. I think it's important you mentioned that you are an expert at Disney and can – so you have some insight. You've been around. You probably know where to go, what to do, and kind of give some good tips and tricks. What else is kind of trending? What else is are people going to that they want to go to? What are people looking for that you – especially you and your expertise can help with?
Well, I mentioned cruises. Something that's very popular right now are special interest cruises. If you've got a group, a scrapbooking group, someone had mentioned a quilting group.
Steven has both of those, by the way.
Yes.
Your quilting and your scrapbooking group can go on a cruise. So, a family reunion or a church group, a youth group, a business networking group perhaps. That's very popular now for these groups to go on cruises, and cruise ships are willing to provide you with extra amenities, onboard credits, places to meet, to have your meetings. There was a recent ship that a whole bunch of fans from Matchbox 20, the band Matchbox, yes. Yeah. So they all, an agent chartered out a cruise ship, and fans of this band went on this cruise, and the band came. So they got to cruise with their favorite band. I'm assuming they did a show, and so those are very popular right now.
Mike, I need to correct you. It's not scrapbooking and quilting. It is Risk/Axis and Allies players of the world. So, you know,
well, that's a good
just get
group.
It right. Get your that's facts right group. During these interviews.
Should
okay?
have done my research. Yeah. What's one of the biggest challenges that you face when you're booking for an individual or booking for a family?
You know, what's tricky for me is when people are comparing me to what they find on the internet, and I am not. My competition is not the internet. I'm not trying to compete with the internet. I am trying to create the best experience for you as a traveler. So you can go on the internet and you can just pull a price tag and pick a trip. But what I'm going to do is create an experience for you. So that is what's tricky, is when someone says, well, I can get this cheaper on this website, and I've invested time and energy and spent time learning about you and your trip and what you want to do, and then they go with this online situation that doesn't know anything about them and actually what their needs and wants are for their trip.
Let me ask a follow-up to that. What's the biggest thing that's missing, or what's the biggest mistake people make when all they do is just go to the internet to kind of find their travel? What are they missing out on? What mistakes are they making that you're like, oh, if you just talked to me, you wouldn't make that mistake?
You know, I liken I'm going to tie it back to Disney World if I can. I liken going to Disney World and staying off Disney property as a Six Flags experience. I'm a fan of Six Flags.
Absolutely.
But Six Flags is not Disney World. It is not atmosphere. It is not the whole environment. Mm-hmm. It is rides. And so I feel like, but when you go to Disney and you stay on property, you are immersed in the experience. And that's what I feel like if you're getting a trip off of a website, or Groupon or whatever, then you are getting that Six Flags experience. You're getting the beach. You're getting a nice hotel, hopefully. You're getting some airfares and some airlines, but you're not getting the full experience. People don't know they're not getting that. But if I help them, then the trip is just that much richer and that much deeper.
I like how you put it earlier. Put on the ears.
There you go.
All right.
Thank you, David. David is sitting here, wants to ask so many questions. We're going to get him a show one day. I'm going to give him a friggin' show just because he's very good.
You're just saying so many things. I want to ask follow-up questions, but I don't want to eat into your time.
We've had people hijack the show before, so this wouldn't be a first time, by the way.
David's the only one who has hijacked the show.
Oh, that was you. That's right. That's right.
Look, I'm sorry. I just watched Argo. Don't get me started.
We are talking with, to remind everybody, Stacy Gross with Favorite Place Travel. And Stacy, do you have any specific travel tips that you would recommend to your clients that you always like to recommend?
You know, I always recommend that people purchase travel insurance. We all work real hard to save our money and go on this dream trip. So it is worth just an extra $50 to $100 more to get the insurance. Should anything go wrong, you're protected. In the case of the Carnival situation that just happened, had someone have travel insurance, it's covering their lost wages while they were still out at sea. Should you break a leg while you're on your trip, it covers those medical expenses. Or if you get sick right before, the day before, and you can't go on your trip, you will be fully reimbursed.
For cruises, does it cover hurricane delays?
Good question.
That is a good question. And in some cases, I believe so. I want to say it does. I would need to check on that.
The best part is if you have a travel agent, they can look
I
up
can
the answer
out.
To that question.
Let me find
specific
out.
Insurance.
Thank you. Yes.
Well, the big difference between going online and booking and going through yourself is you get, as you said, you get the person. You get the you get yourself, Stacy. So tell us all about Stacy Gross. Tell us about your background and how you landed where you are today.
Oh, goodness. Well, thank you. I was fortunate enough to have a family who liked to travel, but you know, we were the Griswolds in the truest sense. We did the RV across the country for 3 weeks every summer. And, you know, as a kid, I hated it, but I have been to every battle site. I've been to every national park. I have been to 49 of 50 states. I have not been to Washington State. Isn't that a shame? Well, there, I'll take your trip. So now I've been to all 50 states.
The 1 degree
so,
there.
Right. So I love seeing the United States. The United States has a lot to offer. And then I've also traveled to 4 of 7 continents with the intentions of getting to the 2 more. I don't have a real desire to go to Antarctica. That's not on my list. But, you know, for example, my senior year, my dad said, well, you know, you could go anywhere. And he offered to send me to Europe and whatever. And I opted to go to Africa for a month. And I went with my church and I was living with the people. And that's how I like to travel. I don't want to necessarily go do all the sightseeing touristy stuff, but I want to see the cultures and be a part of that. So that's what I love doing that.
Stacy, for those that want to find out more about you and you know, and book a vacation somewhere.
Well, I'm sorry. I've never done this, Mike. I need to interrupt and ask one more question. And this is serious. This is my hard-hitting question. I think one of the things we did not cover. I'm so sorry, Mike. He's going to kill me. Look at that look he's giving me. I think a lot of times we've kind of talked about what's the difference between going online and what's the difference between working with you. So one of the things I just want you to say, and you probably can't be very specific, but there's really not a ton of difference in price in working with someone like you. Is that correct? It's not like somebody's going to pay huge amounts out of pocket to work with you. Is that correct? Is that a very good assumption to make?
No, you're exactly right. I am not necessarily going to beat the deal online every time, but I can most times, 99% of the time, match it. As far as working with me and hiring me, I sometimes have a planning fee, and a lot of times I will credit that back should you book your trip with me, because I'm protecting my time from those internet shoppers as well.
But the value you would provide so far outweighs any cost that somebody would be looking
for. Well, the peace of mind right there is priceless.
Absolutely. Exactly. And getting it done right. I'm sorry, Mike, please.
Yes. Do you have any other questions?
Yes, but I'm going to give it back to you because I'm already in trouble.
I do.
I'll come back another time.
Absolutely.
Stacy Gross with Favorite Place Travel. Give us all your contact information, please.
Thank you. It's my phone number is 404-409-4174, or you can email me at sgross@favoriteplacetravel. Our website is www.favoriteplacetravel.com.
Stacy, thank you so much for joining
us
on Gwinnett Business Radio. All right, Paul, are you ready, Paul?
I'm ready.
You ready for this now that you've seen what happened?
I had to tackle Paul from leaving. He was trying to get to the door, but I stopped him one time.
That's why we got him in that seat right there. Paul is with Southern Home Inspections Plus. Tell us about your company and what you do.
Well, I am a residential home inspector, and what I do is for both sellers as well as buyers, I provide a thorough, objective evaluation of homes, a property. So the scenario runs like this. You have someone who's looking to buy a home. They find what they really, really love. They see some imperfections that need to be fixed, but they're really not sure. So the real estate agent will almost always recommend that an outside inspector come in and do an evaluation of that property. And so they contract with me during their due diligence period, which is anywhere from 5 to 10 days. I will go out, do an inspection, and by the next day they will have a written report with photographs on what I found, the things that need to be fixed in that particular house. Now, I tell this to everybody. Anything in a house can be fixed, all right? Anything. Because if you think about it, before they built it, there was nothing there. So when they built it, all right, anything they built can be repaired. The two questions are, how much is it going to cost, and who's going to pay for it? in some cases, when you're buying it from the homeowner, all right, the homeowner will fix some of those things, and then you'll negotiate the others. If the house was foreclosed, for example, what you'll find is that there's the bank is not going to fix anything. You're buying it as is. And so if you have a good idea of roughly what it's going to cost to fix all these things, hopefully you'll make a good decision. The buyer will make a good decision not to or buy it understanding that they're going to have to fix, you know, the problems.
All right, Paul. So when you're called in, what do you do? You know, how do you inspect a house? What are you looking for?
Well, when I do an inspection, I actually start on the outside because I want to take a good hard look at the siding, whether it's brick or vinyl or when the newest thing is cement fiber. I look at the foundation to make sure there aren't any cracks. I get the information off the outside air conditioners because I want to make sure that they're not too old. Because one of the things that people don't like to do is have to buy a house and then immediately pay $2,000, $3,000 on a new heating air conditioning system. I go through all of that. I take a good hard look at the roof to see if there are any major problems with it. And then I go into the house and literally go room to room. And I prefer to start in the kitchen and go through all of the appliances in the kitchen. I turn them all on. I make sure that they're all operational. I check all the drawers and cabinets so that the doors aren't falling off. And then go through every single room. When I'm in a bedroom, I'm looking to make sure that the windows aren't broken or the if it's dual pane, we don't have a fogged window.
Or bulletproof glass.
Or bulletproof glass, yes, yes. Sometimes we find that. We also check to make sure that there's electricity in the outlets.
We're going to make this interview funny one way or the other, just so you know.
And that's fine. That's great. This can be dry sometimes. I understand that. But anyway, because we're looking for damages, all right, that need to be repaired. We're looking for leaks in bathrooms, those kinds of things.
How long does it take you to do an inspection? I mean, this is a lot of work.
The average inspection, of course, it depends on the size of the house and the number of bedrooms and rooms in the house. But the average inspection takes about 2.5 hours. On a much larger house, it can be upwards of 4 or 5 hours. But and real small house like a two-bedroom ranch built in the 60s, I can probably do in an hour and 45 minutes. So it varies.
And you would be amazed what he can find in 2 hours.
Well, and I'm, before your question, I'm going to interrupt you now, Stephen.
Yes.
I mean, do you go into crawl spaces? Do you go into attics?
Absolutely.
You go every nook and cranny.
Every nook and cranny, because it's amazing what you'll find in those places, and especially in the crawl spaces and in attics. It is absolutely amazing what people have up there, and the fact that many
times.
Let me turn David's mic off first.
Yeah.
I can only imagine what he's going to say right now.
Yeah, he's reaching for the slider now. You can see it. He's like, oh, God, shut him up.
One of the unusual things that I found in a crawl space, an older home, probably about 70 years old, crawling under the crawl space, and there was a perfectly preserved skeleton of a cat who obviously got trapped underneath the house. Nobody knew it. After killing all the available mice and whatnot and living for probably a couple of days, it died. And I would guess it was probably sitting there for another 2 years before I crawled underneath there because there wasn't anything on it. It was perfectly preserved skeleton.
Wow.
And I'm glad you said cat because when you said skeleton, I wasn't sure where you were going.
Yeah. Flee the state and have to, yeah, okay.
Here lies Mr. Frisky.
So, Paul, you are obviously not the only home inspector out there. Mm-hmm. Do all home inspectors work off the same checklist of what they're looking for? So one of the ways you would separate yourself is all the different things you would look for, whereas some people would only have a marginal list. You're going to go more in depth?
And that is correct. The standard for inspections in the state of Georgia, as in many states actually, is the ASHI standard, A-S-H-I. And but there is no requirement, there's no certificate that the state imposes upon us that says you must check all these different items. It's literally up to the inspector to pick and choose what he's going to look at and what he's going to write down.
So it's a fair question to ask, what are you going to check? And obviously yours is more thorough. The other thing I noticed is that you deliver the report in a very, very timely fashion. Can you expand on that a little bit? I mean, what should people expect when they get an inspection?
Absolutely. The purpose of a due diligence period, once the binding contract has been signed, is to give the buyer an opportunity to literally make the hard decision that, yes, he wants to go forward with the sale, or if he finds something he doesn't like and wants to back out, he will not. He can do that during the due diligence without losing his earnest money. All right. So it's very incumbent upon the inspector to provide the findings as quickly as possible. There are inspectors who will actually carry a printer out in their car and print it out right there. But when I take it home in the evening, and the reason why I make sure that they have it by the next day, is I can go through all of my checklist and make sure I haven't forgotten something or missed something. Because many times, as I'm going through a house, I'll take pictures. And sometimes what I saw in the picture, I don't make a note, so I'm cross-referencing the pictures with the notes I've been keeping. And the one remark or compliment that I get from almost all of my my clients is that, wow, this is the most thorough inspection I've ever had. Now, something else I do, all right, is I like to teach. And so if I can encourage the buyer to come with me, I will literally point out all the things I find, and we'll talk about how those things need to be repaired. So, because in some cases, the buyer is going to have to do it. So, and they, you know, don't really understand that when you have rot at the bottom of a door, do you have to take out the whole door, or do you just cut out a small piece of wood and replace the damaged wood?
So it's a lot more than here's your report,
right.
Good luck.
Exactly right.
That's fantastic.
I also teach them things such as how a furnace and an air conditioning system work, you know, in a 101, not in specific detail, but enough to understand exactly how those things work and how to take care of them, you know. I always recommend you ought to have your air conditioning and your heaters serviced at least once a year just to make sure that they're operating correctly and they're safe.
Some good advice here. We're talking with Paul Feiereisen with Southern Home Inspections Plus. Paul, what types of things do you come across that should maybe make a buyer stop and think, maybe I should not buy this house?
A good example of that is an inspection I did about 2 months ago. Walking around a house, it had a walk-in basement in the back, and there was a crack so big through the foundation that I could actually slide my hand through the crack. That was not a good house to buy. Now, I rarely tell my clients, don't buy this house. But I will emphasize the seriousness of a problem so that when they make a decision, they're making an objective, a smart decision. And there are some things that, for example, that same house, the foundation with the crack, on the back side of the house, the foundation was 2 inches below the rest of the house. Okay, yeah. They weren't touching anymore.
Wow.
Well, if I can make a very serious comment about this, I've done about 14,000 real estate closings, and I've seen a lot of deals where a home inspector had done the inspection and the buyers panicked and the deal was dead. One thing, I've known Paul for years. One of the things I love about Paul's service, and this is for those realtors out there, Paul is not an alarmist. When he's talking to a buyer, it's very matter of fact, and he's not going to freak them out. You know, even in the most serious problems, he's not going to create such a sense of alarm that they're going to have a knee-jerk reaction. They're going to make an educated decision based on the teachings of a very good educator.
Typically, are you hired out, Paul, by the buyer? Is there ever a time where the seller actually will hire you out and say, I want to go ahead and have this inspection, and they think maybe it's going to help the home sell quicker?
Yes. Occasionally, not very often, but occasionally I'll have a family or an owner who wants to know what's wrong with the house. And so I will come in and do an inspection for them, provide them with the information, and they can decide what aspects of need, the things that need to be repaired can be repaired by them and which ones that they're not going to do. In many cases, you'll have a husband has passed away and the spouse remained in the house for a number of years, and she's now getting ready to go to live with the kids. But she has no clue of what the condition of the house is. So I'll come in and give that person a good evaluation of it and explain to them, you know, relatively speaking, this does not cost a lot, but this problem over here is going to cost a lot.
And it sounds like you're not only when you're buying or selling a house, but just to have you come in. I'm a homeowner, and no one's looked at my house in several years. I mean, it would be very valuable to have you come in and give me peace of mind.
I have tried to sell that idea unsuccessfully, except for maybe two instances, and one of them happened to be a real estate agent, and she just wanted to know.
I mean, because you sold me. I mean, it would just make me feel better knowing that the house is in good shape.
Well, one of the great opportunities for a home inspector to come in when the house is not for sale is if you've got a home warranty, you bought a house and it came with a warranty, and you're at the spot where you're a month away from that warranty expiring, call Paul. He's going to come in, and guess what? His checklist is the thing you hand to the builder's warranty company and say, okay, these things need to be fixed.
Exactly right.
Let me get an idea. How expensive or not expensive is it to get a home inspector?
The average house, which is three or four bedrooms and 2.5 baths, I normally charge around $300, $300 and $325. A lot depends on just how much square footage is with it also. So the smaller the house, the price goes down. The larger the house, the price goes up.
So it's the size of the house. So you're still going to do your whole inspection from A to Z because you have a pretty comprehensive list.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I was going to ask. I know a lot of times in the past, home inspectors, you get hired through the real estate company. But it's something if I'm somebody who's looking to buy or if I'm someone who's, again, looking to sell and want to kind of do that, can I request my own home inspector? Can I work with you directly or do I have to go through the real estate agent to get that?
Very good question.
Thank you.
And the answer is it's not the real estate agent who sets up the inspection. All right. In Georgia, real estate agents are required to provide at least the names of three different inspectors or inspection companies. And then it is up to the buyer to choose which one they want. And they don't have to stay with that three. They can choose somebody else if they want. But it's the buyer that selects who they're getting. Many times real estate agents work with a number of different inspectors, and they'll say, I've worked with these three, and I like all three of them. You know, I would recommend any one of those three. So that, you know, there's that interaction also. But it's literally up to the buyer.
So I was going to say that's one thing that's changed during the financial crisis and the housing crisis. Buyers need to get a little bit more educated on the differences between inspectors and
yes.
what separates you guys and yes. what your value added statement is.
Yes.
So one of the great things of being on this show is, you know, all homeowners in Gwinnett need to do a little bit of research on the inspector because the inspector can make a difference.
Exactly right.
Whether you're buying or selling.
Exactly right. And when I'm talking to when someone calls me and asks me how do I do it and how much is it going to cost, part of what I explain to them is talk to other real estate inspectors also. Find somebody you are comfortable with so that when you go through the process of the inspection and getting the report, you are comfortable with what you're getting. If it's not me, fine. Find somebody it sounds like, you know, it works out and do that.
And how do you go to market? Is it just all referrals and realtors and just people you know? Is that how you get your name out there?
Yes. Primarily, it is through real estate agents referring me. So my goal is to get to know as many real estate agents as I can and ask them to at least refer me. I'm with the Business Networking International group that I meet with every week, and I get referrals through them. I also just through friends, people, and I always say, if you know somebody who's getting ready to move, have them contact me. They may not need me for 2 months. But if they're looking for houses, at least let me give them my name and number, and then when they're ready, they can give me a call.
All right, let's go ahead and give out that contact information for folks that might be listening that want to get in touch with you.
Okay, well, my phone number is 404-245-6682, or you can reach me on the internet at S as in Sam, O-H-O-I-N-S. P-L-U-S. That stands for S-O is Southern, H-O is Home, I-N-S is Inspections, P-L-U-S is Plus. So Southern Home Inspections Plus @gmail.com.
And is there a website?
No, there's not. I'm working on it.
Okay. That's the next thing then.
It needs to be inspected.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that was
bad.
Poor.
That's bad.
I wish we could edit that part out. Paul, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much. I've enjoyed being here.
Paul Feiereisen with Southern Home Inspections Plus. Also a big thank you to our other guests, Stacy Gross from Favorite Place Travel.
Thank you. Easy for
me to say. Thank you, Stacy. And as always, David Lawler from the law offices of David M. Lawler. Thank you, David.
It was nice to be here.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, I love giving you a hard time and vice versa. I can see that.
It's fun. We may invite him back again. I don't know why. Stephen, if you ever hear me say, let's bring David back on the show, please stop me.
We'll do a production meeting. This is great.
All right, that's it for our show today. A quick reminder that Gwinnett Business Radio can be heard throughout the day on the Gwinnett Business Radio X station, and that you can listen to any of our programs anytime, 24-7. I'm going to turn his microphone down. You can listen to the programs anytime, 24-7, by logging on to businessradiox.com. For Stephen Julian.
I'm so glad I don't have to flee the state and find a hotel with blacked out windows.
I am Mike Sam, and we'll see you next time right here on Gwinnett Business Radio.